to your health with Dr. Burns. Hello and welcome to Here's to Your Health with Dr. Burns. I am Dr. Burns and I have with me from Kitty Corner, I have Elsa. And Elsa wants to talk a little bit about exercise. So Elsa, is exercise supposed to be fun?
Yeah.
Okay, what type of exercise do you do?
I just do ballet, but somehow I don't. But somehow I'm alone like 2 days because Kelly isn't at me.
Okay, so do you like to dance?
Yeah.
Is dance a good exercise?
Yeah, but I usually dance with the 12 dancing princesses.
Okay, so yes, you can dance to music or to videos. They got videos out so that you can dance to. What other types of exercise are there for kids that are fun? How about is bike riding fun? No, come here. Recording right now. Is bike riding fun?
Yeah.
So running's fun too. What about swimming?
Yeah.
Okay, and what about jumping? Is that fun too? Yeah. Yes? So are those all the things that we can do to stay healthy and to exercise?
Yes.
Okay, are we supposed to exercise every day?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much, Elsa, for joining us on our show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Here's Your Health with Dr. Burns. I am Dr. Burns, and I have Gary Quinn with me. How are you doing today, Gary?
Great, Dr. Burns. Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, and pleasure having you on. It looks like that you have become the most popular person around with your book, The Yes Frequency.
The Yes Frequency, I was in Sacramento this weekend, and it was nonstop, and I think people, just in the promotion of the work, some of the people who interviewed me had shifts within 1 or 2 days. It was really amazing. So I think the Yes Frequency is about really giving people permission to really move forward. And, a lot of people are going through struggles or they're going through obstacles health-wise or emotional blockages. So what the Yes Frequency does is it really gives you the opportunity to look within yourself and really use some techniques and some tools that give you some fast-track living and giving you results. And that was the reason I wrote it, because I wanted people to really, have some tools that they could implement right away. A lot of people think that they have to go to many, many seminars and that they have to read lots and lots of self-help books. But really, it's just taking the action, and really by using this word, it just activates and becomes a catalyst for people to really start to really shift. And the shift starts quickly. It's not like it takes weeks. And so I think that the tips that people really want to hear these days are, what can I do? And is it going to take a long time? And, will I feel better? And I think, some of the steps I give people is to, one, really take inventory and look at what is it that you really want to have? What do you want to be? And where do you want to go in this next 6 months to a year's time? Sometimes people have this giant goal or this giant dream. And it's not to say that they should forget about that. I have people create a small, a medium, and a large dream so that the attainable small dream becomes accessible and that we don't just sort of, are waiting for something to happen. So I think, every day we can do something to shift our consciousness.
No, I know that you've been like an intuitive life coach for quite some time. And so what experiences came in for you to write this book? I mean, were there personal experiences for you, or was it more based upon like your clients that you see?
Well, it was a little of both. I mean, it was a journey of, I'm always looking for things to challenge myself and really, be on the cutting edge of what do people really want. And I pay attention and I listen. And this actually was something that happened in Munich, Germany. I was teaching on a tour, and I walked into a conference room where I was to teach, and there were about 60 people waiting for me to speak. It was a two-hour event, and I walked in, and intuitively I felt the energy so heavy and such a downer that I said, oh my goodness, what am I going to do to shift these people's energy? I just can't start talking. So I really asked the universe, and the universe and my guides and my intuitive side said, have them all stand up and just repeat yes. I had them stand up, and I had them repeat yes probably 150 times. And lo and behold, there was some kind of shift that happened. And I started to see the people, the energy, they became happier and more open to receive. And that was the birth. They stayed 2.5 hours, and they were only supposed to stay 2 hours, but nobody wanted to leave. They were, you know, really happy, and they were connected. So that was the birth of it. Then I started using it in different countries. I started implementing it in Italy, in England, in Austria, wherever I was teaching, and I started to see that the word yes meant something, and it was able to open up people's energy. And that was kind of the start.
Nice. Now, how exactly do you use your angelic forces to help other people out?
Absolutely. I basically, when I'm in a room or I'm in a private session with a person, I just basically kind of tune in, and it's like a download. I basically just kind of feel what I'm seeing. Sometimes it's a vision. Sometimes it's a voice, an impression. Sometimes I get letters. I never know what it's going to be. I have to be almost like the weather forecaster that has to kind of figure out what does it mean. So it's basically I have to really sense what that energy is, and then I, you know, just speak to the person and tell them this is what I'm getting. So it's different every time with people, and, you know, I also tap in sometimes into past lives. So I sense that too, and it's really just kind of just being open and feeling the frequency of the energy. That's really how it just kind of opens up. So it's just really feeling that kind of vibration.
Okay. So now for people who want to be able to manifest their dreams, how do you think they start by manifesting them?
Well, first of all, they have to really, you know, a lot of people are really blocked, or they have a lot of emotional scars that are deep wounds that are preventing them from having the life that they really wanted. So in some of my sessions, I work with people to really look inside, and intuitively I find out what is stopping them and what actually is the block. And a lot of the times they're still living in the past. So I really help people to heal that through the forgiveness. And I talk about the forgiveness frequency in one of the chapters, that's a main point that one has to really utilize. Otherwise, they don't move forward. And that means forgiving everyone and everything, and also themselves. So once they let go of that, they open up a new kind of path to start to trust. And that means trusting themselves, trusting the universe, and really starting to activate every point that might be dormant for such a long time.
Now, let's say, now when you talk about forgiveness, are you talking about them doing like role playing, like actually going up to someone? I mean, what type of exercises for that forgiveness do you have them do?
Some of the exercises are to, first, we make a list of all the people and events since they were age 5 till now, and they'll write down what the person did, what it made them feel like, and how they want to heal that. Usually I make them first do 20 or 30 times out loud, say, I forgive my Aunt Sue for everything. And then after that, if the person is still alive, I asked them if they'd like to send a letter, make a phone call, or go in person to actually apologize or, let's say, forgive them for whatever that happened or whatever the thing that brought shame to them was, event. And then they do a forgiveness meditation, which I give them, which I have on a CD that's available that helps them to download any residue. And they have to continue doing it for a while. It's not like you do it once, because you're peeling layers. A lot of times people get very angry once they start the forgiveness process, because it's almost like you're uncovering layers of skin, like an onion, that have been blocking the emotional state of mind or the charge that as it's coming up to the surface. So it is a constant process.
So do you think that people then will, you know, like initially start out with, you know, like anger and then maybe fear because they don't know like how to release it or what's going to happen to them after they release it?
Yes, it comes in different flavors. Once they sort of look at I forgive the situation, all of a sudden then we work on having to forgive themselves right away. And then after they forgive themselves, the emotion comes up or is clear what they've been role playing or playing in life, whether it's fear, whether it's keeping themselves small because they didn't want their, you know, parents to, you know, say anything to them. I mean, it's various situations all sort of fall under the banner of problematic issues that keep them stuck. A lot of times it's just really just doing the exercise and being aware. A lot of people aren't even aware that they have these issues or these problems. So it's a real journey in finding out what's in there, because, you know, we've boxed it up or bottled it for many years. So of course people aren't going to really know what's in there.
And then from that, how do people end up boosting their confidence after they're trying to like get in, peel off the layers? Then when does the confidence come in?
Well, the confidence starts to click in after they've sort of healed everything and that the whole energy has started to kind of move. So the confidence we start building by slowly affirmations, which I write in the book, and I also have some life codes that are sort of little reminders of markers in their day that they can review and remind themselves what a incredible person they are. It's almost building their self-esteem, but it's really working on the subconscious to really let that start to activate and build. Because sometimes they don't really know what to do, and it's really just how do they go from A to Z. And it's really just, really looking at what's been happening in their life. And part of it is, you know, they're in denial, so that they don't really like to, talk about it, or they're really fearful, or they feel like, you know, how can I do this? So there's a lot of emotional state of mind that's blocking people, and once they start doing this work, they will start to really find out that everything's possible, and that they don't have to wait, for anything like that.
Okay. Now, when you were talking about self-esteem, do you actually coach your clients about like the difference between like self-worth and self-esteem, or do you think there is a difference between the two?
I think it's all the same. I think the self-esteem comes with the confidence, and I do give them action items to really start to do things that make them feel better. And that means everything from, moving in really finding out what their passion is, but really, you know, stepping into their power. You know, sometimes when they step into their power, they become a bit more clear. It's like a blueprint when you're building a house. If you're not looking at the, you know, the architectural blueprint, you're not going to know what you're building.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, it's like when people are actually starting to step into their confidence, do you feel that some of them are a little hesitant to do that because it's so powerful because they haven't had it in such a long time? Or do you feel that people just naturally progress into that?
Oh, absolutely. They are afraid of sometimes stepping into it because it is fearful. It's the unknown. And people are always fearful of the unknown, and they sometimes, you know, they don't know what to do. So they're kind of, they may have all the information in front of them, but they don't know what to do or how to proceed. So sometimes they do nothing. They just sort of say, well, it's easier to just sit back and do nothing. So part of that is really a problem of sharpening their own intuition, which I speak about in the book. You know, it's starting to listen to your inner voice, start to download any information, meditate, exercise, eating right. It's kind of the whole mind, body, spirit. Everything has to be in complete order. Otherwise, it doesn't work, and then it becomes very confusing. So then they do nothing because they go, well, I have too many choices. I don't know what to do, instead of just doing one thing. So I would say the main point is that the forgiveness door opens the self-love door, the confidence door, the intuition door, the eating right, thinking right, speaking right. I teach them the language of miracles, which is about really learning how to respond to various situations, learning the language of positivity, really not using the word no, because that shows a lot of fear. And I'm not saying that you will never say another no or that you will never be exposed to it. You just have a choice to either change the channel or continue living in that space. And it's really, you know, it's really up to the individual. You know, I never push anything on anybody. You have to be ready for this type of information or this work. And I think when you're ready, then you really move quickly. You know, I gave a seminar the other night in Los Angeles about this, and a woman emailed me, and I gave her some little tips from the book to do the following day. And she was working in the television industry, and she said she had a hard time selling this idea to her company because she was working in a television production company. And just by activating the confidence, but the knowing, and I gave her a little imprint. I said, what if you had already sold 10 shows and you won an Emmy? How would that make you feel? She said, well, I would just walk in. I wouldn't be selling. I would be sharing what my idea was in a different way. I said, that's how you have to go in tomorrow. And she went in, and I gave her some affirmations on some of the pages. And she sent me an email saying, you're not going to believe this, but they bought her idea, and they're giving her a promotion. She was just ecstatic. She sent me a page of information of what had happened. So it happens that quickly, because she actually did something different that created a different response.
Nice. So with people wanting to do this, I know a lot of people, like their main things are like how to get out of a bad relationship or how to get into a good relationship. Can you touch a little bit on what people can do for things like that?
Sure. A lot of people are always, it's always easier to get into a relationship than to get out of a relationship. But you really have to find out, is it a positive relationship for me, or do I really need to work on myself first? See, a lot of people don't work on themselves first. They immediately feel that the relationship is going to fix them. And the solution is that, you know, a bad relationship is less about the other person. It's more about you. So, for instance, if you want to get into a good relationship and find love, the most people just say, well, you know, this person is going to do it for me. So they basically just kind of lose themselves. And what you have to really know is that you must be independent, but you need to magnetize the right type of relationship. See, based on the people's past, and that's why the forgiveness exercise is so important, because they start to realize what type of people that they are pulling in. And that means in a relationship, it's usually the same type of guy or woman that was apparent in their childhood through the teacher, through the situation. And it's really being aware of, once they take their power back and they start to say, I am whole and I give myself the permission to love myself, then they're able to really love someone else. And then instantly that relationship will return to them the way it needs to, and the person will come in by themselves. They don't have to, you know, join a dating service or anything like that. The universe will bring them together.
Nice. So then would you say then that the people around them or the relationship, because that person has changed, that the relationship changes with that other person that they're with?
Absolutely. And part of the time is one person is working on themselves and the other one doesn't. So that relationship ends because there's not a common denominator bringing those two together, or there's not a growth. And that's so typical in the self-help world. You know, the wife will be working on herself, and then she'll realize, oh, my God, this isn't the husband for me. And all of a sudden there'll be, breakup. And the same thing happens. Sometimes the husband and wife are moving together in a positive spiritual path, and they stay together and they fall back in love again. So it works both ways. It's just a matter of what that individual is working out in this current, let's say, journey.
Okay. Now, for those who have not found their empowerment and are still working off of fear, and they know that they're in a bad relationship, but they're worried about like so many other things, like I'm not sure if I'm going to have any money, you know, to, you know, for other things, stuff like that. What do you tell those people?
Yeah, I would say for those people, first they have to look at their assets. And a lot of people who are in those type of relationships, they've given their power away completely to the situation, so they have no skills. They have no confidence, so they're so dependent on that situation or that marriage because they don't have any financial backing. If they were independent and had really done something for themselves, that means get a degree, that means get back into the workforce, that means to really get out there and be a part of the work life, they would say, you know what, this isn't working, I've got to go. There's no stress or fear to leave that relationship. So that's a big one. And so I would say if they are in a toxic relationship but they can't get out, they need to stay in it for a little while and look at the options of what can they do to advance, because they don't want to be on the street. If it is an abusive relationship, I would get out of it right away. You know, there's help and various shelters and things like that. But if it's something that you've been tolerating for 20-some years and you want to change it, then it's your fault for not really taking the action to prepare. And you could make an agreement with your partner and say, you know, 2 more years and I think we need to move on. However, it's supposed to, you know, work out at this point. So I really feel like, you know, there are a lot of opportunities. It's a matter of how do I click into that and really become that person that I need to be. And really, once again, it's self-confidence. It's, you know, really creating that excitement and inspired living within themselves.
So, and then would you say that a lot of times people hold themselves back because of fear?
Oh, absolutely. Fear is the number one, let's say, crippling situation that keeps people stuck. They are blocked. They are completely, they can't move forward. Paralyzed. They're completely paralyzed in this situation. So they just aren't able to kind of move forward at all.
Now, I have a friend who says that fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real. What do you say to that acronym?
I agree with that. It is an illusion that we create. It's almost like when you were a kid and you see these horror films, you know, basically they work on scaring you and building that illusion or that scary part that is just really it's really a shift of creating that kind of fear within one person that doesn't really exist. So it's really face your fear and walk through it, and then you know that there's not a fear opportunity anymore. It's kind of okay, well, here's what we have to do now, and let's not be let's not really worry about it. So I think that's the solution, is to face your fear. Because fear is, you know, the number one thing. And that's why I think it's important to live in another culture. You know, the best thing I ever did was to move to France when I was in my 20s. And I knew one person there. And it was the best thing because it forces you to grow. It forces you to know that we live in a bigger, bigger world. And that there is another life. I think travel is amazing, you know, that you see other cultures and you see how other people live. And you also become more grateful for all the things you have.
So that's awesome. And now for those people, you know, like once they're able to overcome their fear and they have their confidence again, do a lot of them still feel like a little lost because they're just like, oh, well, now that I'm trying to redefine myself, I'm not quite exactly sure what my purpose or what my passions are. How would someone go about finding those?
Well, when they're in that state, here's where they have to trust, because the skills that they know, they're going to attract it through the laws of attraction. They're going to attract it automatically because they will be in a new frequency. See, once you're in the yes frequency, everything just happens effortlessly, but through synchronistically, it falls into place by itself, and you don't have to try so hard. You just sort of put the intention out there because you're clear, and clear thinking brings clear results. So it really starts to shift quickly once you've done the work. It's really getting into the work on yourself. And really, when you do the work, you clear up all the false illusions, the fear, the stress, the anxiety. That all goes away because you know where you're going. When you know where you're going, it's an automatic, you know, situation that you know exactly what you're doing. There's no fear.
Okay. So, and then from that, do you feel that once people find like their passion and their purpose again, that say like people in situations kind of realign, like old people fall away and new people end up coming into their life?
Absolutely. And I always tell people it's important to, during that phase, is to try everything. You know, I had a woman who wanted to be an opera singer, but it just wasn't cut out. Her voice wasn't exactly cutting edge what she needed, but she knew everything about the opera, everything about the singers, everything, worldwide. And so I said to her, immerse yourself in that space. Once she found out that she was no longer, going to be able to sing the way she thought she was, she just didn't have that voice. She thought she did. She had trained with her teacher. So she asked her teacher, look, do you know anybody who could use my services? And my skills are great organization, and I'm a great people person. So she said, oh, well, let me put you in touch with the Lincoln Center. And they're always looking for individuals to volunteer, you know, to help out the opera. So, you know, she was working a job here and there. So on the weekends and evenings, she started to go and volunteer. And by volunteering, she would get really discount tickets and sometimes free tickets to attend the operas. And she started meeting more and more people. And this was already 6 months into working there, no money. Then they offered her, because they saw how important she was to the vibration of staying in this frequency, and I said to her, keep saying your affirmations, keep saying yes, keep moving into this realm. And she just kept getting more in depth of around opera people, and she got invited to the private parties backstage. And they started doing all these big concerts with, you know, that she was going to, go and speak and help people, you know, take them around so that they were, you know, almost like a little personal assistant to the opera stars. Well, she befriended one opera star who said, come to my private, you know, hotel dinner, and my agents and everybody were there. And this woman knew everything about every aria, every opera star, international. And she was, sitting there. She was pinching herself going, I can't believe I'm in this big, you know, private party. And she started chatting this gentleman up who was the opera, the gentleman's agent. Well, he was so impressed with her. He said, I don't know who you are, but you are amazing. And would you think about coming to work for us? And they were an agency. She said, sure, here's my number. And they met a couple weeks later, and she was hired, and she kept her weekends still volunteering. And she now is a junior agent as a opera agent, and she books people all over the world. And she's just ecstatic that her life changed with the word yes.
Nice. That's awesome. So now for people who like have, you know, I mean, like with her, she wanted to do that, but now she's an agent. And I'm glad, I mean, that she's like very happy with it. There are many people who'd be like, man, but I really wanted to do this one. And then they keep focusing on like what they don't have, even though right. They've still got like a rich life with stuff, you know, like with other things that they're doing. So what would you kind of tell those people that are like, have like a full life, you know, like that one lady who is now an agent for the opera people, but not really opera. So what would you tell other people that still want that opera thing, even though they're an agent, so to speak?
Well, I think they have to be realistic that, you know, I'm not saying they give up their dream. They just have to know that they can't, the universe has a bigger opportunity for you. So when you trust it, you'll be led to that situation as opposed to feeling stuck and feeling like you are useless or that you're never going to give up. You know, you have to, you know, if you're 70 years old and you still haven't made it as an actor, I would say that's a problem, you know, or that you wanted to be a doctor and by the time you're 65, you still haven't, you know, gone to medical school because you're still waiting for the money or something. So you do have to be realistic. You know, you could be a great medical salesperson. You know, it doesn't mean, you know, everything is possible. I mean, I think being open to letting the universe fulfill you, and still she, you know, she still sings for fun, you know, but it doesn't mean that she's going to be this opera star. So I think we have to be realistic and see where our path is Being the center of attraction isn't always what you're supposed to do. And say you want to run a, you know, own a big company. Well, maybe that's not what this lifetime is for. Maybe you're to serve and maybe you're to be a banker or broker or work for a banker, that helps people get loans so that they can be entrepreneurs. You know, there's many, many different paths, and it's just, it's, you know, I tell people, try everything. You know, use what you have, your assets, and put them forth. Let people know what you do best, because then that's how you're going to move quickly into the universe, and you're not going to be stuck going, oh my God, what am I going to do? So it's really about really learning how to accentuate what your best qualities are and your best assets, and everybody has them. You know, and through this process of the Touchstone for Life coaching that I train and the Yes Frequency, we really uncover this and really find that many people go on to start new careers. And everybody who studies with me doesn't want to be a coach, but through the process, they find out what their authentic voice is and who they are and what they want to do. You know, I found out someone who, she wanted to be an actress, and what we uncovered was, her skills are so good, she's a better producer. So I said to her, start producing. And she said, you know, you're right. And she started producing films. And she would put herself in these films, but she didn't have to be the star. She's still working with the people she loves. She still loves the business. So it's really being, you know, around that. You know, I have another woman who wanted to do something else, and it turns out she's become a baker. And she has her own company in England where she's making muffins and biscuits. And she finally goes, wow, this is something I would have never thought. You know, so I think different paths are meant for different people. You know, I think you have to be flexible and enjoy the moment and know that everything is just available to all of us. And I think... you know, I think it's just about that. You know, I'm sure that everybody will find their truth when they work at it.
Yes, definitely. So we are actually running out of time here with the show, but it's been very informative talking with you. Do you have any last words you'd like to say, Gary?
Yes, I think that people just have to take action and start today. And even if you just say 100 yeses every day, you will see a big shift, and it's all about making the shift and really living the life you've been waiting to live. You know, I say affirmations are very strong. They're in the books. If people would like to receive a free newsletter that is filled with affirmations, health news, cutting-edge information about self-help every month, they can just go to my website and sign up for a free newsletter. And it's really about starting today, not waiting anymore. So I hope that everybody takes the yes word, utilizes it, create your dream, and start today.
All right, great. Thank you so much for being on our show, Gary. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we'll see everyone next time.
Hello and welcome to Here's to Your Health with Dr. Burns. I am Dr. Burns, and I have with me from Kitty Corner, I have Elsa. And Elsa wants to talk a little bit about exercise. So Elsa, is exercise supposed to be fun?
Yeah.
Okay, what type of exercise do you do?
I just do ballet, but somehow I don't. But somehow I'm alone like 2 days because Kelly isn't at me.
Okay, so do you like to dance?
Yeah.
Is dance a good exercise?
Yeah, but I usually dance with the 12 dancing princesses.
Okay, so yes, you can dance to music or to videos. They got videos out so that you can dance to. What other types of exercise are there for kids that are fun? How about, like, is bike riding fun? No, come here. Recording right now. Is bike riding fun?
Yeah.
So running. What about, yeah, running's fun too. What about swimming?
Yeah.
Okay, and what about jumping? Is that fun too? Yes? So are those all the things that we can do to stay healthy and to exercise?
Yes.
Okay, are we supposed to exercise every day?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much, Elsa, for joining us on our show.